We're going to be in John chapter 4 this morning. We've been reading a verse of scripture or two out of the back of the book of John. Turn over to you can hold your finger in John chapter 4, the end of the chapter. Over in the back of the book, this is how the message was birthed in my heart. Brother Larry, I think this is the first time you've been able to come to church since this message was birthed in my heart. But you were in surgery, brother, that morning in Knoxville when the Lord spoke to my heart as I was looking at my Bible. The Bible said in verse 25 of John 21, there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Jesus accomplished a lot, didn't he? I've often said in my ministry that God can get more done in 30 seconds than I can get done in 30 years. We need him to do the work. John chapter 20 and verse number 30. Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. We're preaching in the book of John on the subject that you might believe. Honestly, maybe I'm by myself, but I believe God's helping our church. I believe there's somebody praying and believing God to do something. Amen. And I know the Lord is helping this pastor. And I know I don't want to be guilty of lacking the very thing, the only thing that can please God, and that's faith. Jesus said, or the Bible tells us in Hebrews, without faith, it's impossible to please God. We must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. In John chapter number 4, we looked, I think, Wednesday night. I lose track of time. At the woman at the well. I'd like to get down towards the end of the chapter today and look at the healing of the nobleman's son. In verse 46, Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee where he had made the water wine. That happened in chapter 2. There was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. And when he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea, that means glad you heard about Jesus. Come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, sir, come down, ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And he was now going down, and as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, yesterday, at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. Pray with me. Father, thank you this morning for the blessed privilege to open this old book, to stand here this morning, Father, and share with these precious people what you have shared with me. Lord, I don't take that privilege for granted. I'm grateful, our Lord, for your calling upon our life. I pray, God, you take that calling, take our life this day, and make it a blessing to these precious people. Lord, that one that's among us that doesn't know you, I pray the day would come soon, maybe today, when they would part with unbelief and part with sin, part with their pride and run to Jesus and be saved by the grace of God. I pray for the children of God that are gathered here today. Dear Lord, that you would strengthen our faith. Help us to increase in our faith, and God will give you glory. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to give you some things just kind of by way of introduction this morning, and then the message is very simple. But I want to just paint you a picture this morning of what's going on. You say, well, preacher, we can read it. I understand. I really do. But I believe there's some things here that we can dig out that would be a blessing. I want you to see some things, first of all. When you're talking about a noble man, if somebody asked me before I studied, what is a noble man? I wouldn't have really known for sure. But when I looked it up, it was an officer of the state in the service of Herod. It's quite possible that this man in the story's name was Uzzah, and he was Herod's steward, whose wife was one of those that ministered unto the Lord in Luke chapter 8, verse 3, and Joanna, the wife of Uzzah, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others which ministered unto him of their substance. This was a man that was probably a relatively rich man. In the Greek, the word means the king's man. He was pretty close to the king. And I believe this man had a situation on his hands where his money couldn't help him. His position in life couldn't help him. Let me just say this, beloved. Every one of us in this room one day is going to leave this world. It ain't going to matter how much money we had. It ain't going to matter how much position we had in this world. I tell you what's going to matter. Have you been to Calvary? Have you trusted Jesus? Have you been born again? Beloved, what's going to matter is two things, really, in a nutshell. Number one, what you did with Jesus. Did you receive him or reject him? And then at the judgment seat of Christ, what's going to matter for the Christian is what you did for Jesus. What you did for the Lord, because you loved him. Amen. And beloved, to die without God would be terrible. We have in the Bible the story of Nicodemus. He's a religious man. God goes to him as an individual. The story of the woman at the well. And this woman's probably, as far as morally speaking, on the bottom of the totem pole. Let me just say this. God loves them at the top. God loves them at the bottom. And God loves them everywhere in between. Amen. I'm telling you, one preacher said it like this, from the guttermost to the uttermost. God is no respecter of persons. Amen. The Lord loves sinners. I want you to notice that in the first miracle, when Jesus turned the water to wine, it was a result of a mother's request. In this second miracle, and by the way, this is not the second miracle overall. This is the second miracle in Cana of Galilee. There's too many things you can't marry up in these chapters if you think this is the second miracle overall. But it is the second miracle in Cana of Galilee, and it happens as a result of a father's request. I thought it was interesting that only in the book of John you find this miracle recorded. I'm telling you, beloved, we need to look at it. John said, I put it there that you might believe. Let me rephrase that and get it right this time. John said, God put it there that you might believe. Amen? There's a reason for this account in the Word of God. It's not recorded specifically in any other gospel. However, it's probably alluded to in Matthew 4 when the Bible said Jesus went about all Galilee teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. This is not mentioned specifically, but I would dare say it's included in that statement that Matthew made. Beloved, in John chapter 4, the Bible said here, after 2 days, in verse 43, he departed thence. Let me just give you a couple things to notice. Jesus, beloved, has gone 70 miles now from Samaria to Galilee. Beloved, that's not going by train. That's not going by motorcycle. That's not going even by bicycle. Somebody help me, amen. What I want you to understand is that things were going very well in Samaria. The Word of God said, if you look back here, let me see if I can find the verse. The Bible said in verse 39, many of the Samaritans that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all things ever that I did. Now watch verse 40. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. In other words, the Samaritans liked what was going on. Beloved, the woman, beloved, got saved.
many got saved because of the saying of the woman, and many more got saved because they heard Jesus with their own ears. And beloved, I believe it was a wonderful time in Samaria to be alive. Amen. People were getting saved by the grace of God. And Jesus, they besought him. They said, Lord, stay. Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. If you ever meet him, you'll want him to stay. Glory to God. I'm telling you what, if you ever meet him, if you ever walk with him, if you ever talk with him, if you ever enjoy his blessings, you'll realize there's no future in any other field. You got to stay in the field with him. That's where the blessings are. And the Bible said after 2 days, so it's a long distance, Samaria to Galilee. Would have been much easier for Jesus just to stay a while longer. But beloved, there was great success. You know, the Bible said, beloved, here, that he travels, he leaves, and the Word of God tells us that he goes down now to Galilee. There's another person in need. I'm glad the Lord specializes in going where there's a need. Jesus goes into Galilee, but the Bible says in verse 44, a prophet hath no honor in his own country. Jesus is not going to go to Nazareth, but he's going to go to that province of Galilee, but he's not going to go over there, beloved, where they don't want him. Matthew Henry said this. He said, men's pride and envy make them scorn to be instructed by those who were once their schoolfellows and playmates. Amen. In other words, Matthew Henry is saying, because that prophet is not without honor save in his own country, those are the ones that Jesus grew up with. They didn't want to take orders, so to speak, from him or recognize his elevated position as the Son of God and the Son of Man. Amen. And so he did not go there. We find in the story here, I believe it's important that we understand that there's something going on here. Jesus is now going to come to this where this noble man is, and actually they're going to meet. Jesus is coming out of Samaria to Galilee, and this man is coming out of Capernaum to Galilee. Jesus is going to travel 70 miles, and this noble man is going to travel 15 miles. It's 15 miles plus, depending on who that you read after. But I understand this morning, beloved. Listen, there's nothing worthwhile in this world worth having without paying a price. Listen, salvation's wonderful, but we need to never forget that Christ paid the price on Calvary so that we can be free, and free indeed. And this nobleman now, he's got a son that's sick, that's about to die. He's going to travel. I thought this was interesting, Brother Steve, when I thought about it. A man of his stature, a man of his means, could have sent someone else. But beloved, I'm going to tell you something right now. I believe it was urgent. I believe Jesus needed to hear the Father's voice and hear that compassion in that voice and see that concern on his face. And I believe it touched the heart of the Son of God, amen, when he said, my son is about to die. I want you to watch with me now as we go down through the story a little bit. What the nobleman heard caused him to believe that the Lord could help. I believe the nobleman, no doubt, listen, had heard about what Jesus had done, had heard about some of these miracles that have already taken place. And it caused him to believe, listen, if Christ can turn water into wine, then Christ, the creator, according to John chapter 1, amen, the creator of the world, the one that created us, can fix us, amen. And I believe if he could get to Jesus, he understood Jesus could take care of the circumstance. He was not at the wedding, but surely he heard about that miracle there. I praise the Lord. When we see the word besought here, his son was about to die. I believe this nobleman needed something that money could not buy, and that was life for his son. Beloved, I want you to know this morning, there are people all around the globe. Brother Brian and I, we spent some time. He spent a lot more than me, but I had the privilege to be with him some in Texas. And I'm telling you, Brother Brian, as we traveled those halls and we saw the expression on those faces where that news had come. And you know the news was this. Doesn't matter how much money you have. We can't help you. Amen. Doesn't matter what position you have in life. We can't help you. Doesn't matter the knowledge that we have. We can't help you. I'm just telling you, beloved, this was a desperate situation for this father. And he knew there was one and only one that could help him. And he must get to that man in Galilee. I believe it's important to understand that this morning. The Bible said in verse 47, when he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him, and he besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Jesus said, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Some have said that they believe this was spoken more to the crowd than to this man as an individual. I don't know, but I do know this. This individual's not going to be deterred even by what Jesus said. Listen to the next verse. He said unto him, sir, come down ere my child die. I don't know about you, but I can sense some desperation in this father's voice. I can sense, beloved, listen, this compassion that he has for his son. And the word of God said, Jesus said unto him, go thy way. Let me just say this. I won't say it before I move on. Jesus is not going to be put in a box. In another place, there was a centurion. And Jesus, he said, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word and my servant shall be healed. You remember that? And you see the opposite right here. You got a man begging, Jesus, come down. Come with me. Please come home with me. I need you to touch my son. My son's about to die. But Jesus is not going to be put in a box. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, we need to let God be God. Amen. Ask him for what we need, but then let him determine, amen, the course of action to take. So Jesus says unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. Didn't see anything? Amen? Jesus didn't reach down and take some clay and spittle and say, take this and put it on him. He didn't say, take this oil and anoint him. Listen, I'm not making fun of the Bible. The Bible said, if there's any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church, anoint him with them all. I believe that's right. But what I'm trying to get you to see is all this man had was the word of God. Jesus said, go, thy son liveth. And the word of God said he went. He went. He went. Say, preacher, what do you believe is important there? Faith. He took God at his word. Let me just say this. I believe if we take God at his word, we do more sowing. Help me. David, sowing tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. Bring the seeds with. I believe if we took God at his word, we do more praying. Help me. I believe if we took God at his word, we'd do more studying. I believe if we took God at his word, we'd be more faithful. Amen. You say, preacher, that's rough. No, 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 no. It's just a measure. Do we really take God at his word? If we want God to bless us, we need to have faith and take God at his word. I believe with all of my heart, it's important. Let me give you some things this morning quickly. We've kind of introduced the message. I don't get scared. But I'm going to give you a couple of little things right quick that I believe that will just kind of wrap it up and bring it all together. The word of God said here, go thy way, thy son liveth. The man believed the word that Jesus spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him. Listen, can you see this? The servants have already left home. They're so excited about what they have seen, they can't even stick around. And evidently, there was a specific route. So they go out to meet him. He's on his way back to his son. They're on his way from the son. And I only imagine the conversation on the way home from right there. They said, thy son liveth. I wonder if this nobleman didn't say, tell me something I don't already know. This man believed God. When that man was willing, the argument was over. He's begging Jesus, come down, ere my son die. He said, go thy way, thy son liveth. And according to the word of God, that man went his way. He just turned and took God at his word and believed his word. Think about that. The word of God said, then he inquired of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour. Now I want you to notice this. I think this is important. The Bible said the fever left him. The Bible didn't say he began to amend. Well, glory to God. I'm going to tell you what, that night when Jesus saved me, beloved, he didn't just begin to save me. He done it. He done it right. He done it all. He done it complete in a moment of time. Amen. The Bible said about the seventh hour in Roman time, that had been about 7 o'clock in the evening. That's important. The Bible said here, so the Father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Galilee. What lessons can we learn from this story? First of all, genuine faith. How many believes God's looking for genuine faith? Amen. I got to thinking a while ago. Now listen, somebody going to get mad right here probably. But I got to thinking about a church that can get excited about the old rugged cross. I like that. Hallelujah. I don't have to have a bunch of drums and somebody beating my eardrums out, amen, to worship God. You understand what I mean? Beloved, I believe, listen, that stuff's of the flesh anyway. I don't have to have an electric guitar, amen, something that sounds like a rock concert to worship God. Get me to Calvary. Get me to Jesus. Let me see the Son of God that loved me and gave himself for me, amen. Beloved, I'm going to tell you something right now. Genuine faith is something, listen to this, that is determined to get to the source. This fellow wasn't looking for a disciple. He was looking for the Savior. This fellow wasn't looking for a servant that carried some wine, that water that had been made wine. He wasn't looking for the mother of Jesus. He was looking for the Savior. He knew, beloved, let me tell you something right now. You've got somebody in your family lost, there ain't but one can save them. Better get to the source. You better get to the one, beloved, and the only one, and that's Jesus that can do what needs to be done. Amen. Genuine faith is something that is determined to get to the source. This man begins with what we would call crisis faith. He's in a crisis. He's got a dying son. And beloved, I believe with all of my heart that you and I at times are going to run into a crisis in our life, and we're going to have to believe God to make it through that crisis. This man graduates from what we would call that crisis faith. Beloved, the hour that he began to amend in verse number 52, he said, come down ere my son die. I believe he graduates to what we would call confident faith. In the seventh hour, the fever left him. This man was in a crisis, but now this man is confident that it was the God of heaven, amen, that did what needed to be done. Let me just say this to you, beloved. Listen to me carefully. When a person comes to Christ, sometimes they don't know what to expect. I didn't. I had no idea. I'm going to tell you what I did that night. I asked God to save me. Can I tell you what he did? So much more. He saved me and so much more. I had no idea what God was about to do in my life. But I had to take that step of faith. It was childlike faith. I can't help myself. I'm dying. I'm in my trespasses. I'm in my sin. I'm going to go to hell if I can't get to Jesus. And I took that step of faith, and Jesus did the rest. That genuine faith will turn into something, beloved, that's determined to get to the source. It'll be a confident faith. Genuine faith was the only hope for deliverance for his son. It was the only hope that he could see his son delivered. There is no hope outside of Christ. Amen. Christ, who is our hope, who is our life, the Bible said. And then genuine faith is something that is designed to be spread. I want you to see some things here. We could wrap the message up like this. There was crisis faith. There was a dying son. There was confident faith in a living Savior. There was confirmed faith. In other words, this man knew his faith was right in a living son. When he saw that his son was living. But let me give you this. This is important. It was a contagious faith. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Let me show you, please, quickly. Look at verse 29. Look at verse 29. The Bible said of the woman of Samaria, she said, come see a man which told me all things ever that I did. It's not this the Christ. How many realizes it catches? Many are going to believe because of the saying of the woman. It's contagious. And then you get down there to where Jesus said, The Bible said many of the Samaritans believed of the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all things. In verse number 40, the Samaritans besought him to stay. In verse number 41, many more believed because of his own word. It went from many to many more. It's contagious. Watch this now. I think this is important. Very important. Look at verse number 45. Then when he was coming to into Galilee, the Galileans received him. You tell me something. Why did they receive him? I'm going to tell you something. Listen, you can say whatever you want to. But beloved, that story got out on Jesus. They were embarrassed down there. They run out of wine. Jesus said, fill them with water and bear it to the governor. He never touched a thing. But I'll tell you what he did. He made the difference in that wedding. Amen. And word had gotten out. And somebody in Galilee, many somebodies were believing. That's why they were so willing to receive him into their presence. Amen. It's contagious. Watch this now. Look at verse number 46. So Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. Beloved, listen. It's already spread now to this king's man, this noble man. He's got it in his mind, if I can just get to Jesus, Jesus will take care of my son. It gets better. Look at verse 51. And when he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. Let me ask you something. How many believes there's some servants that's about to believe when they hear this story? Amen. Watch this now. It's going to get better than this. It's contagious. This man says, what hour did he begin to amend? And they said, the seventh hour. He said, guess what? That's exactly when Jesus just told me to go on home. Amen. How many believe that? And I believe these servants understood that. It was catchy. Beloved, if a bunch of people will believe God, somebody else will believe God. Walk with God. Believe him. Take him at his word. What is it you need? You say, preacher, I've got this habit and I can't break it. Maybe you can, but can I tell you, there's one who can. Preacher, I got this lost loved one, and I'm burdened. You can't save them, but let me tell you about one who can. His name is Jesus. I got this need, Pastor. I need wisdom. I got a decision to make. I got several decisions to make. I don't know for sure what to do. Let me just say, I've been there and I know this. He'll show you the way if you want to know the way. The Bible said the Lord will show you the way. I believe with all of my heart. John chapter 1 verse 6, the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. I remember the day when I was looking for an answer from God. And God stopped me in the middle of the verse and said, son, the Lord knoweth the way. The Lord knoweth the way. I don't know, but I know this. We're in a wilderness. And my Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. All I have to do is believe him and follow him. Watch this now. I believe it's important. Look at verse number 53. In all my reading of the book of John, I missed this. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believed. I'd missed this, Brother Steve. He said, now, preacher, wait a minute. You said he believed back over yonder when he took off. I believe it's another example, Brother Lance, of what I've been trying to teach us. There's the believing in salvation. That's when we're born again. That's when we trust Jesus as our Savior. But then what about that abundant life? Honey, you can say whatever you want to, but there was a celebration broke out at this house. There was a boy that was as good as dead, and at the word that come out of the mouth of Jesus, he raised. Amen! And God healed him. You say, preacher, I don't understand. Watch this. I had missed this. The Bible said, thy son liveth, and himself believed. In other words, God gave him a shot in the arm. Really a shot in the heart, and increased his faith. Listen, I'm not trying to be dramatic, but Brother Grizzle, he's got 15 miles to go to get home. You can't tell me that the devil didn't try to jump up on his shoulder on the way home. Say, really? You really think you're going to get back there and your son's going to be healed? I wonder how many times Brother Steve had to say, Satan, get away. The Lord said, let me tell you something right now. I don't care who you are, how long you've been walking down this path. He'll jump up on your shoulder. And he'll stay there if you let him. You need to understand, beloved, that we can use the word of God against him. Amen. That's what Jesus did. And let him ride somewhere else. He doesn't have to ride in our life. We don't have to give place to the devil. We don't have to doubt what God has said. But watch this now. Thy son liveth and himself believes. Somebody tell me those next four words. I've had people say, what difference does it make if I believe? Could make a difference in your whole house. I've heard people say, what difference does it make, you know, if I serve God, if I surrender to God and I do the will of God? I tell you what, it could make a difference in your whole house. I'm going to tell you something right now. The Lord ordained the family even before he ordained the church. And you can say what you want to, but I believe God over and over in the Bible lets us know that he's interested. And when Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I believe God's interested in the house. Over there in the book of Acts, when the Philippian jailer, you know, God shook the jail and Paul and Silas, they walked out and he came in trembling with the light and he was going to kill himself. Paul said, we're all here. Do thyself no harm. And he cried out, what must I do to be saved? Amen. Paul's response was this. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. How many remembers the rest? And thy house. Could you imagine, Brother Steve, that jailer washing those stripes that night and his son saying, Daddy, what happened? You just beat those men a little while ago. Oh, I could see Daddy turning with tears and saying, son, let me tell you what happened. Jesus changed my life. These are good men. They didn't deserve to be beaten. We did that because we didn't understand the gospel. We did that because we were blinded. But now, son, we can see. I believe with all of my heart that there was some household salvation going on that night. They were washing the stripes of Paul and Silas. The miracle of the water being turned to wine, that exhibits power over time. You say, preacher, what do you mean? You take a grapevine. Listen, just take a grapevine in its natural setting. You know what the grapevine does? It takes water out of the ground and pulls it up into a grape. So in time, God's always in his creation turning water into wine. Does everybody get that? In time. But see, what Jesus did is he just stepped in and said, time's no barrier to me. Fill them up with water. He didn't need any time. They bore it to the governor and they poured it out and it was the best wine. How many understands where I'm getting at right there? That time was no barrier. Now watch this. Space was no barrier. The sun is 15 miles plus away. That don't matter. Beloved, you think about this. We're talking about the one that spoke the world into existence. Space was no barrier. I'm telling you, beloved, we can pray for somebody that lives on the other side of the world. And God can go on the other side of the world in a blink of an eye and answer that prayer. Space was no barrier to our Savior. That you might believe. Let me ask you something this morning. Do you believe that God's still in the saving business? Amen. I, a while ago, was going to mention we have some of these little cards up here. They're about the size of a business card. Point someone to a gospel video. If you believe God's still in the saving business, you ought to get you some of these and put them in your pocketbook if you're a lady, or your purse. If you're a man, you're carrying a purse, I worry about you. Put it in your wallet if you're a man. Amen.
Let God lead you and give them out. You never know who might listen to the story of Jesus and trust Jesus. I'll tell you, the gospel tracts, just inviting somebody. It's that time of year. It's Easter. A lot of people are going to go to church somewhere. And a lot of pastors, listen, I'm telling you, they're going to get up and they're going to fuss at people for just coming to church. I promise you this. You get somebody in here on Easter Sunday and I won't be fussing at them for just showing up once a year. I'll be doing my best to point them to Jesus. I'll be doing my best, beloved, listen, to help them to understand that He lives and He can change their life. Amen. I'm not going to fuss at them for coming once a year. I'm going to try to help them while I've got them here. And I believe with all of my heart, if we just go out consciously, we believe Jesus is still saving people, delivering people. You say, preacher, this man's son was about to die. Let me give you something worse than that. A lot of our friends and loved ones are already dead in trespasses and in sin. And the only one that can deliver them is Jesus. And beloved, this morning, He wants to deliver them. You say, preacher, I'm struggling. It may be some habit. It may be some sin. The Bible said that does so easily beset us. It may be some weight. Just something that in and of itself is not bad, but it's bad in your life because it's keeping you from the best. It's keeping you from fellowship with God. Amen. Years ago, I hadn't been here too long, and Brother John, I always fussing at him, but he did something really wonderful, really nice for me. He bought me a set of golf clubs. You remember that, Brother John? He got me a set of golf clubs, and I put them in the trunk of my car. I had every intention of going home. I think it even had some real balls and some plastic balls in it, didn't it, Brother John? And I put them in the trunk of my car. And I took them home, and I had every intention of getting them plastic balls out there in the backyard and learning how to do that, because I figured that it wasn't fair for Brother John to be the only one that beat Brother Ralph like a drum every time they went to play golf. I wanted to get in on that drum beat, amen? I wanted to get in on that. And I carried them there for 2 or 3 weeks, never got them out of the trunk. You can ask Brother John. I brought them back and give them back to him. Because the Lord... Listen, let me just tell you how I am. If I went out there and Brother Ralph and Brother John beat me, now listen, I'm going to give it my best shot. I ain't going to get mad at them, but I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm probably going to practice a whole lot more than I should be practicing before we go play again. Is anybody with me? And God just showed me it would be something that was going to eat up. Now, this ain't for everybody. I'm saying you can play golf and keep it in the right place. You can fish and keep it in the right place. You can hunt and keep it in the right place. But I'm going to tell you something. You can do all those things and it get in the wrong place too. That's between a man and God. And I just knew that it was going to eat up more time than I had to invest in it. I'm not against that. I'm not against that. But I want you to know this. You can have something that's good in and of itself, but if you're not careful. I mean, I think a television can be used for good. I've been finding, especially here where we have that high-speed internet and unlimited, I've been finding some preaching videos from way back, and man, have they blessed my heart. I've watched Brother Mase Jackson preach. I've watched Billy Kelly preach. I've watched Brother Joe Arthur preach. I've watched Brother Scott Pauley preach. You say, preacher, why would you watch it? Because I need preaching too. You get to the place where you think you don't need preaching, you're fooling yourself. Everyone needs preaching. Everybody needs to be challenged from the Word of God. But you can take that thing that can be used for good. Help me! Sit there 12 hours. Ain't got 12 minutes for the Word of God. You can't tell me that's good. Say amen. You can take this right here. Brother Brian, is he still back there or did he have to leave? He had to leave. You can take this right here. He was talking about a phone booth this morning. His kids wanted to see what a phone booth looked like when they were up there at a museum. This right here replaced it, didn't it? This right here, I've heard pastors say, I wish I could throw that thing in the lake. Now, I don't understand that, because that right there is precious to me. Knowing that anybody at any time can get a hold of me, don't matter where I am, said Pastor. That means the world to me, Brother Ralph. It actually gives me more liberty, because I don't have to sit in an office beside of a telephone in case somebody needs to get a hold of me. How many understands what I'm talking about? But I'm going to tell you something. That right there can also come between a man and God. Facebook. My wife heard about last night on Facebook. She heard about the prayer request for Brother Larry. It can be used as a great tool, as a great thing to spread good news, to spread prayer requests. But I'm telling you, it can be filthy as well. And I'm also telling you, it can eat up a person's time where they have time for Facebook and don't have time for God's book. How many's with me this morning? God wants us to walk by faith. God wants us like this noble man. Jesus said something, he went his way. He said, go thy way, thy son liveth. I'm going to tell you, that was a great faith. He didn't say, Lord, are you sure? Amen. He went his way, that you might believe. That's why God put these in there, that we might believe. Believe him more and more and more and more. Do you know him this morning? Do you know him in the free pardon of sin? Do you know that he answers prayer? Do you know that he can direct your life? Amen. Let's pray together.